proposed to cover the loopholes on profiteering by criminals of their writings. The language comes from the Department of Law. I should tell you that, let's say the Affairs Agency thinks there could be some constitutional difficulties, but that was not indicated by the Department of Law, which reviewed research the matter, so I propose to go forward with it. Without objection, then there will be a Hess bill tomorrow morning. Then we will take up the major topic for the day, which is House Bill 225 relating to optometry. We also have on our agenda HB 384. The committee heard lengthy testimony for and against this bill, 225. And so each committee member is knowledgeable about the issues. In fact, perhaps some of you have heard these arguments in other years. One of the suggestions that came up in the testimony, which came more from the ND side of the debate, was that we consider going back to some compromises which were discussed in 1980. And we have had prepared a draft committee substitute which tried to take into account House Bill 79 and Senate Bill 75 of 1980. A meeting at that time was held by the lobbyists for the State Optometric Association, who now represents the doctors, and the lobbies for the State Medical Association. That committee substitute in a sectional analysis is before you. We also have someone in Nome who wants to speak. Dr. Spence. And that is the purpose of having the teleconference equipment here, so we can hear the person who has asked to be heard through the Department of Health and Social Services. This is not a public hearing otherwise. Dr. Spence, are you in Nome?
Right, this is Dr. Spence speaking from Nome.
All right, if you'd like to proceed, your testimony is on behalf of the Department of Health and Social Services, is that right?
That's correct. Dr. Ribeau, who ordinarily would be offering the department's testimony, was not able to be present. And I had to be at a meeting in Nome, but thanks to the teleconference, am able to offer the department's testimony on the bill. Over.
Well, Dr. Spence, please proceed, and we'll hear you then.
Okay. The Department of Health and Social Services is in favor of expanding the scope of the practice of optometry to use of diagnostic drugs only. And the other amendments that are proposed as Senate committee substitutes are acceptable to the department in that we view them as being additional safeguards in terms of the composition of the Board of Optometry and in terms of the procedures that would have to go into place to make the use of diagnostic drugs by optometrists safe for the public. The department's position is basically that the expanded scope of practice, if it includes just diagnostic drugs, would be in the public interest, and our department can go along with the elements that are in the committee substitute. Over.
Thank you very much, Doctor. It would be my intention, if we can reach agreement, to move out this legislation in some form this afternoon. And I'll ask the individuals here representing the optometrists, the physicians, and Representative Martin, who is the sponsor. Would you like an opportunity, Mr. Bravo or Mr. Martin or Mr. Urien, to review the draft bill in our folders before we can? I mean, we can stand at ease for 15 minutes.
How do we do that?
Sure.
Well, I did ask the doctor something.
Dr. Spence, we have a question for you before that from Senator Moss. Senator, before you ask that, Representative Martin says he's reviewed the bill and would like to comment. Do the others in interest want to have us stand by or call in at ease and look at the bill, or do you want to testify on the
case? Given your opening remarks, Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's necessary for us to review it, given the fact that there will be, number one, we've reviewed it in the past and are familiar with generally what the bill contains, and number two, that it's going to be referred to another committee and also has to go through some more of the process. So I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. I'm not trying to get a job on the Railroad Commission, you know. I just want to do what's right. Mr. Martin, if you'd like to take the chair here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senator. It's obvious you all put a lot of work in this, and going back to 1980 is most interesting. Thank you, Senator Pappy.
Excuse me.
For the record, my name.
Well, if you'll stand by, Senator Moss and Dr. Spence, we'll take that question after Representative Martin.
Thank you, Senator Justice. And for my record, my name is Terry Martin, representative of East Anchorage and sponsor of this bill. And as you mentioned, this bill has been around for a while. I think in 1979 it began. So it was dubbed the Tula Bill in the House Labor and Commerce Bill because it comes up about every spring. However, I think it's blossomed, and it was a good bill when we sent it out of the House, and it looked like we're going into a reversal back to 1980 so-called compromise. It was like a compromise. And looking at the new sections that were added, it seems like what's happened is that the medical profession is again trying to negate the professional independence of the optometrists. And this is the whole problem in the first place. There seems to have been a terrible turf protection. And these people have proven time and time again, without a doubt, that they are professionally trained. They get a lot more hours in the different diagnostic drugs that they want to use for the betterment of their people than the average physician does. I'd hate to put an average physician against the expertise that some of these optometrists have, because the average physician would have a role over them and would not have near the experience or the training in using the same diagnostic drugs. The major problem seems to be in Section 5, we talk about the medical board overseeing the diagnostic drugs or in an advice. And here again, I think it would be just too much protectionism for themselves. The requirement of medical referrals, I'd really like to have some of the optometrists to look at this. I know some are interested in advancing the bill to the next committee, and that might seem advisable, but to me, once the committee here has judged to the best it can, and especially a heads committee, what is best on a particular bill, a finance committee or labor and commerce is most likely just to act on your recommendation. And I'd like to have some of these recommendations really considered. In Section 8, we see the old thing that's been going around. I guess it happened in 1972 the first time. We have my good friend Dr. Marlow, representative now from Kenai, saying when a person will use the word doctor. And Caesar tried that. Caesar tried that a number of centuries ago, and the people, in defiance of him, kept on using the words that he said they will not use in the way they used them. We just can't prohibit the public or people from using certain titles. And now this doesn't go as far as it used to do, that the Medical Association didn't believe anyone should use the word doctor. But now, you were around too, and no one used the word doctor in many
ways. Mr. Martin, if I may question you this time.
Sure.
You get the question. I'm the individual responsible for the draft Senate CS because it struck me when I heard the testimony in the public hearing we held that while the two sides seem to be polarized, in fact, some of the people in the medical community said that they recalled the 1980 agreement, thought that was reasonable, and gave the optometrist some ability to use diagnostic drugs, and that under the stipulations that were all involved there, that they thought that was a reasonable outcome. And I'm struck by the fact that Dr. Spence, speaking for the department, appears to agree and endorse the CS. So I'm not sure that we're too far off, but I think I also hear you in terms of the turf fight. If this CS did not provide that the medical board would approve a list of drugs, but would advise or comment upon them, and if the and that would only require two changes, so that the medical board would not have to approve the list, would that ameliorate your concerns?
Thank you, Senator Joe. My major concern is that in advisor capacity, that's good. But at the same time, professional independence is needed. And we've seen over the past 4 years where for some reason or other, the medical board has been vehemently opposed to this type of legislation, that 32 states have very open laws. And my major concern is that what freedom will exist for on behalf of and the benefit of the public. The public, especially in Royal Alaska, where these professional people have been trained, get out there and they see a potential problem, they use the diagnostic tools, and then immediately they can do something. They may take a native people and refer them immediately to Bethel, where we have an optometrist, a specialist, or to Anchorage, where specialists are. These specialists don't go out. They're too upsy-upsy. Now they have a few more of them, and they say they go out now only because of the competition. But even if it were competition, I'd like to have all people to do the very best in serving the public. And this way they can do it. If they act as advisory, it may be loosening up a little bit. But where's professional independence? Would you like the doctors to tell you, in the law profession, what they feel? They can give advice. But...
Okay. Well, we have, I suppose, some analogous situations of overlapping arts. I'd like to hear Dr. Spence on this later when Senator Moss asks him. But I think that I would be willing to strike out of subsection 6 on page 1 and everything after the semicolon on line 28 and the first line of page 2 and on line 23 of page 3 strike out the phrase after the approval of the state medical board.
It's balancing a little more, I think. I only have one other question, sir, if I may ask. Has somebody leaving representative for the optometrist group had a chance to look at the committee? So maybe I'm speaking out of turn, or maybe they feel we fooled with this bill for 5 years about, you know, we had to go back to the 1980 compromise or accept that. I haven't had a chance to talk to any of them.
I really don't think they've had an opportunity. They had an opportunity to hear the testimony from which this emanates, mm-hmm. but... I believe, to be perfectly frank, Mr. Grabo feels cut short here a little bit. He does remind me and you that there will be another committee hearing. Mm-hmm. Have another shot at it.
I believe, Senator, if I may, as Mr. Grabo suggested, that maybe with an understanding of the next committee referral, that there may be some suggestions of changes with some of these, like you've mentioned. And if the other committee would not take it as verbatim, this is the absolute must.
I don't find that test committee work is received as verbatim.
So if we can allow a little more openness there, I would feel safe in your hands, sir.
Thank you, Representative. I think you're needed in the House, and I appreciate it. Dr. Spence, have you? If you're still available, let me ask Senator Moss if he would like to pose his question at this time.
Anybody?
Dr. Spence, somewhere I was digging through my files here, it noted certain type of medicines that people in optometry use to work with patients that are an across-the-counter thing. And yet, it's my understanding from some of the POMs that I've got that a person that's doing the eye examinations now, the diagnostic part of it, whatever, cannot use even some of the things that I can go down here to the corner drugstore and buy, and maybe doctor myself with. Is that correct?
I'm just thinking on my feet here. I would presume that is not correct. That if if a drug is across the available across the counter, over-the-counter drug, an optometrist could use that in their practice and not be in violation of the state statute. It would be my understanding that it's the use of prescription or legend drugs that's at issue here, and certainly the diagnostic agents that are referred to in this bill, the cycloplegics and the midriatics, are not available over the counter. These are by prescription. Over.
I was just wondering, because somewhere I kept digging through here, I had it in my waffle file here somewhere, but perhaps I misplaced it. That I distinctly remember getting two or three letters from people that commented on certain types of drugs that were actually, in a way, I guess you might call them legend drugs, as you call them there, or maybe could be prescribed if yet the person doing the diagnostic work on people's eyes couldn't use them under those conditions. And I might also point out that I have some over 100 POMs and message of other type that is in support of the original House version of the bill, and I just thought I'd throw that comment in for what it's worth. I thought I had that data.
Dr. Spence, what would be your view or the department's view if the medical board was not given approval rights as to the list of diagnostic drugs, but only was only had consultative rights?
If the only classes of drugs that were legal for optometrists to use were cycloplegics and midriatics, I don't see that the department would have objection to the to it just being a consultative type of role. Certainly anything beyond those two classes of drugs in terms of diagnostic agents, the advice and consent or advice and approval, review and approval authority would be in the department. The department would want to see that. Over.
Okay, well, the term diagnostic drug is defined to mean cyclopegic or midriatic drugs, so I think that that concern is addressed. We now have Mr. Bravo here. Did you want to testify? Did you want to say?
It's just a brief comment, Mr. Chairman. I think that the optometrist position would be that we would prefer that House bill, as it came over, be slightly amended to include an additional category of drugs, anesthetics, which was in the original bill and passed out in that version. If that's not possible, I think that this bill would be substantially more acceptable if you amended it, as you had indicated, by removing lines 28 on page 1 and 29, and line 1 on page 2, and then also removing the section on page 3, line 23.
Any questions? Sure. All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard? Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rick Urien on behalf of the Alaska State Medical Association. We think the bill you have before us has certainly come a long ways, and we find a lot less objectionable than we found other bills on the subject matter. But I point out to you, Mr. Chairman, that all other boards and our people, our licensing boards, people are judged by their peers. There is nothing in this bill that says that the optometrists who serve on the board of optometry have this type of license or this type of training. You could have, we are talking about drugs. They want the Board of Optometry to have the right to say what drugs they can use, but there's nothing that says the optometrists that are appointed to this board have the training.
Well, but aren't there a lot of analogous situations in medical practice where there's a medical board that may include no urologist, and yet issues of competency arise? For example, which involve that specialty and other people.
I think they're a lot closer to in training than what some of these people may be. I think there's a lot of full-time optometrists who have not had drug training. They could be on the board. I don't know who is on the board of optometry. But you have it.
Well, those old those old-time optometrists could get the educational component. They may or may not. That's your
point. Oh, absolutely. They may. They may or may not. I wouldn't have any objection to letting them, but say maybe maybe a couple members of the board of optometrists should have this license somewhere down the road. Obviously, they can't to start with, but somewhere down the road.
Well, there's still a provision that an MD is on the board.
Yes. But this bill does admit that they are practicing medicine by in section 2 on page 2. So possibly, in speaking with a couple of the docs today, possibly for your consideration, you may want to let the medical board not only choose the drugs, but have authority over their testing and continued education. Because it is the practice of medicine, and the medical board is the one that regulates the practice of medicine, not the board of optometry.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a question. A diagnostic drug is a drug you use to find out what's wrong. Then why do you prescribe the diagnostic drug? It says a person licensed under ASO 8.72 may use and prescribe diagnostic drugs. How do you prescribe a diagnostic drug to somebody else to apply?
Because I think that you could say, I want you to stop by Fred Meyer and take this eye drop after breakfast tomorrow morning, and then come see me an hour later.
I like the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just hope they don't cry.
Okay. Yes.
If I may succeed, I think that maybe one mistake here that the optometrists who are qualified now have had very good training. And they have been certified, and they sent it at least to all the House members last year, and it was a newspaper article showing the extensive training that the optometrists have been going through to upgrade themselves. So if there's any question as to who will be authorized, it could easily be answered by any of the representatives in this field who qualifies now to use it. It's well documented.
I think Mr. Urien's point was that in the political process, an optometrist might be recommended by Carol Berkner to the governor for appointment to the board, and that particular nominee might not have the ability in his own optometry practice by virtue of education to utilize diagnostic drugs, but would be voting on which diagnostic drugs could be used, measuring the education of those. But I think that that's probably going to be handled by the fact that undoubtedly some board members would have that consultation and there would be a medical doctor there. This is not a perfect world. What's the committee's pleasure? First of all, do you wish to use the Senate CS or CSHB 225 as a vehicle?
Mr. Chairman, if it's your intent to move the bill on, that's certainly the only bill that I would move that committee.
Do you move that we use that as a markup?
So,
is there objection? Hearing none.
Okay.
Hearing none, we have Senate CS for CS for House Bill 225. Are there amendments which you'd like to consider? I'll move the deletion of the materials after the semicolon on page 1, line 28. With the quote, the board shall approve the list of diagnostic drugs developed by the board of examiners of optometry with the board's assistance. On page 3, line 23, to delete after the list is approved by the state medical board. Now I'll watch.
Wait a minute. You're going to delete the from 257?
Yes. This is a reference to the medical board. Under the draft, the list must be approved both by the optometry board and the medical board. The medical board would still assist in developing a list and comment on it, and there would be an MD on the optometry board. Where's the second rule? Page 3, line 23, after the list is approved by the state medical board. The phrase with the advice of the state medical board will still be present.
I don't know if the
objection to the chair's motion. Okay. Any other discussion? How many favor that deletion? How many oppose the deletion? What's that? Deletion is not made. Are there other changes to Senator Moss moved to rescind the committee's failure to adopt the Joseph Amendment. Is there objection?
I object to the rescinding.
Those in favor?
Motion's
rescinded. The motion again is to delete the material indicated. Those in favor say raise your hand. Senator Moss and I vote the affirmative. Senator Halper votes the negative, and the deletion is made. Okay. You have before you Senate committee substitute as amended.
I was looking at another bill at the time.
We have a motion to report out with individual recommendations the Senate committee substitute as amended.
So moved.
Objection. So ordered, and we will circulate the report. We'll move on to CSCS 8B384. Dr. Spence, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me participate. Okay.
In section, this is expenditures by local school districts. We had this matter before us earlier, and in House Bill 8384, the chief school administrator's settlement, record of employment was to be open, and any settlement of his contract was to be submitted for approval to the Commissioner of Education. Senator Moss and I had some concerns about that in terms of local prerogatives. The committee substitute provides that before us on page 2, subsection E, before a school board executes a settlement agreement for the termination of the contract, the board shall make the agreement available for public review and comment for at least 10 days, and shall submit a copy of the agreement to the commissioner. So there's a mandatory submission of the proposed settlement agreement. The commissioner shall maintain a file of all proposed settlement agreements so that anyone wanting to know who's buying out what can look it up. If requested by the school board or on the commissioner's own motion, the commissioner shall submit an advisory opinion and recommendation to the school board regarding the settlement agreement. This would not thus require a report from the commissioner in every case. If the commissioner saw something that was outstanding or glaring or created a legal problem, he could advise, or the board could ask for his opinion, but it wouldn't necessarily require the commissioner to render advice in a case. The agreement would have to lie with the commissioner for 40 days before it could be implemented or executed. That's the only section that's been changed, and I've discussed that. Oh, and then there was another, in section 3, there was a prohibition the House put in against paying any extra compensation to an employee who lobbies, and the draft says that you can reimburse that employee for expenses that are reported to the lobby. By
has established salary for lobbying activities except to reimburse out of pocket expenses.
Okay. Period.
Either period or direct people into lobbying activities.
I'll let you say that. Okay. It says period. Okay. Is there objection to the bill on this point? The draft does not address that. Well, the original purpose was that we had a couple of cases where it was alleged that unsophisticated school boards were making humongous settlements with bum superintendents just to get rid of them.
Fort Yukon and out the Kuskokwim out in Delta out there, primarily were the biggest problem.
Is that the Apodaca case or the?
But the guy before that was $100,000. Huh? The guy before that was $100,000.
He was what?
They give him $100,000 to get rid of
it. I know, I
don't use the expo.
And I'm not so sure he wasn't right on what it's all about.
Yeah, I represent the district.
Yeah. Is there a motion on this bill?
I would move the bill out with individual recommendation.
Any objection? How many do pass in the CS?
Let's pass it. We got two anyway.
That concludes our business. Thank you very much.
Pass it out of the committee.
We did a great job today, gentlemen.